Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. Encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends through perspectives of hope in Jesus Christ. One of today's fiercest and most enjoyable debates involves which athletes are in the GOATs, or the greatest of all time category in various sports. In recent years, the debate over GOATs has intensified as hundreds of bloggers, podcasters, websites, and radio and television talk shows have discussed this issue, and numerous polls of sports writers and fans have been conducted. Comparing athletes from different eras is especially difficult because of training regimens. They've changed, you know, equipment and the level of competition over time. Plus, pundits disagree about what being the greatest means. Well, you might say, Danny, how does this relate with anything regarding Christianity and the gospel and the love of Christ that you always talk about? And I do want to pause to mention at the beginning of our program, as we typically do, that yes, the reason we have the Good Life program is to share how Jesus loves. His love makes a difference in the lives of people. His love so strong that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried and rose again on the third day. And for anyone who turns their heart to Christ, opens their heart to Jesus, well, there's hope, eternal hope. So again, how does this relate? Well, there are moments in life when, even in the expression of sports, there are bridge-building opportunities to connect with others with the joy in our hearts and a smile on our face. Gary Scott Smith is a professional historian, an avid sports fan. He is the author of the book, Greatest of All Time, Greatest Sports Stars of All Time. He's also the author and editor of 18 books, including Strength for the Fight, The Life and Faith of Jackie Robinson. Gary, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Greatest of all time, Gary. It's a fierce debate in sports. And you've shown great courage to delve in. You've shown great courage to make a decision on some names. I think this show will be controversial. It will be a challenge, and people may strongly disagree, but you've got a lot to back up your determination. What was your method in how you decided on who you selected for sports?
Well, let me make one other comment first, Danny, just to reinforce the point that you made earlier. And that is, I think as Christians, we affirm that God is Lord of all. He's the creator, sustainer, and redeemer. And we do have a cultural commission, and that is to produce culture that glorifies him. And whatever form that culture takes, whether it's the arts, whether it's education, whether it's politics, whether it's business and economics, or in this case, sports and athletics. We should seek to do it as Christians to promote God's glory. And fortunately, there are a lot of organizations and resources to help us in that regard. So, you know, the Fellowship for Christian Athletes was formed clear back in 1954. Branch Rickey, who was the person who first brought Jackie Robinson to the major leagues, was one of the founding fathers of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We have places like the Sports and Faith Institute at Baylor University. We've got Christianity Today frequently featuring sports related topics. We've got hundreds of Christian athletes out there who use their platform at the college or professional level to talk about their faith and give testimony to the talents God has given them and how they're able to use them for God's glory and honor. So I don't think this is a peripheral topic in any way. I think it's one that's central to the faith. And everything we do, we're supposed to do well, right? So I would just reaffirm the point that you made earlier. So your question was, how did I choose the 15 goats in my book?
Your method.
My method, right. So my method was essentially to look at what three groups of people who had said about them. One would be the pollsters and the pundits and sports writers. The second group would be fans. The third group would be players and coaches. So I looked basically at what all three of those groups had said, and there have been numerous polls of all three of those constituencies, particularly in the last 20 years. And in most cases, I went with the prohibitive favorite. In some cases, it was a very tight competition. In one case, I went against the flow in choosing my goat. But I would say that the three toughest ones to choose were in soccer, men's soccer, in choosing Pele over Messi. Most controversial was men's basketball in choosing LeBron James over Jordan. And that's the one where I really went against the predominant choice of the three constituencies. But we'll talk about that more later, I'm sure. But I think the pendulum is changing and swinging toward LeBron. And then the third one that was pretty controversial was in men's golf, choosing Jack Nicklaus over Tiger Woods. And then there's some like when you go to choose the overall greatest male and female athletes, there are just so many contenders and so many different sports involved that no matter who you choose, you're going to have your people who disagree with you. But I think the two people that I chose are, I think you can make a good case for why they should be the goat of their of that category.
Okay, so let's get into that. Okay, Gary, women's tennis. Why did you choose Serena Williams? I mean, there's so many great ones, Gary.
Well, when you're making the choice, I think you have to consider their achievements, obviously their accomplishments, their records. I also think you need to consider their impact on the sport. And then I also think you need to look at the obstacles that the athlete has overcome. So for me, it's really a combination of those three things. And I think, you know, Serena really comes out ahead in all three of those categories. I mean, she is one major behind Margaret Court of Australia, but she's faced so much more demanding competition than Margaret Court did during her career. And then being an African-American, she's dealt with a racial factor that Margaret Court didn't have to deal with. And then, of course, she grew up in a really challenging environment in California, in Compton, where her family, kind of dealt with living in a cultural and economic ghetto. And then she's just had such a tremendous impact on the sport. I mean, certainly you could argue that Betty Jean King has had a huge impact in, bringing women's tennis to the fore. But she would be the only other one, I think, that could make the case has had such a huge impact on making tennis such a popular sport for women. And, just like Caitlin Clark has done recently with women's basketball, I think you could make a similar kind of argument for what Serena Williams has done with tennis. Just so many young girls wanted to play tennis because of Serena. And many of them have excelled and have opportunities that they never would have had before if Serena hadn't done what she had done. Did she do it alone? No. Venus helped a lot. So did some of the other stars of that generation. But I think Serena is head and shoulders above anyone else of her time period. And that, to me, makes her the GOAT.
You mentioned that there, you talked about Pelé over Messi. You talked about LeBron and LeBron over Michael Jordan and Jack Nicklaus over Tiger Woods. Men's tennis, I think that would be another one that would be challenged when you pick Novak Djokovic. What about Federer? What about Nadal? And these are just modern, we're talking about current contemporary players that are aging out now. The new ones are coming up. But how did you choose Novak?
Well,
and why Novak?
Right. He has the most majors. He has won the most majors. Now, his margin over Nadal is slim at 24 to 22. Federer is retired, so he's not going to win anymore. Certainly, Nadal could win another French Open. We'll see, but he's been struggling so much with injuries the last several years. I mean, to me, Djokovic, he's certainly not as likable as Federer or Nadal, but he's the champion of all surfaces. He's done well on grass, on hard courts, and clay. I shudder to think how many Grand Slams he would have won if the other two guys didn't exist. Or, you know, the same can be said, of course, for Nadal and Federer as well. Federer's done well, particularly on grass, and Nadal, particularly on clay. But if you look at their head-to-head records, Djokovic's record is better against Nadal and Federer than their record is against him. He's won more of the second-tier tournaments right below the Grand Slams by far than either one of them have won. He's had more weeks at number one than anybody else in history. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, he has distinguished himself by the way he's played throughout his career. So longevity is a factor, and the fact that he's had to contend against those two other guys and a host of other really good players. So yes, you have some other people like Rod Laver of earlier time periods, but again, I don't think they've played nearly the competition that we've seen in the last 20 years with the so-called big three in tennis. So, and then Djokovic has such an interesting life story. I mean, he grows up in Serbia when the capital city is being bombed by NATO forces. You know, he comes out of a tough environment. He doesn't have the kind of pedigree that we see with Federer and Nadal, who had it a lot easier growing up. So, you know, I just think you put it all together. The statistics are on his side. The head-to-head competition is on his side. The playing the best at the biggest moments is on his side. He's just really done it all.
Well, you pick Annika Sorenstam for golf. It's as the way you described it from what you've found is it's sort of a clear, as you describe even Novak. I mean, I think it's just, you know, opens our ears and our eyes to see when you draw these contrasts based on statistics, based on it, looking at it from your historical viewpoint. When we come back from our break, Gary, I do want to talk about the Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. You're listening to the Good Life program. I'm here, Danny Yamashiro, here with Gary Scott Smith, the author of the book Greatest Sports Stars of All Time. Hey, you can get that on Amazon.com, but why did he choose Jack Nicklaus over Tiger Woods? We'll talk about that and more. By the way, he did choose Pelé over Lionel Messi. And of course, Mia Hamm, he did choose Mia Hamm, but was there not a Is there not a famous Brazilian women's soccer player that we need to mention? And then, of course, you got LeBron and Jordan, but someone might say, well, what about Kobe? What about Bill Russell? And there may be others in this ongoing discussion. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives, how you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from the Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus' stories with family and friends.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Paul Putz is the assistant director for the Faith and Sports Institute at Baylor University's Truett Seminary. He writes, in GOATS, Gary Scott Smith takes on an impossible task, identifying the greatest athletes of all time. Written with a historian's eye and a love of sports, Smith's book offers a great entry point into thinking more deeply about the lives and legacies of some of the most important athletes of modern history. Agree or disagree, Smith's extensive research will give you something to ponder. Well, let's ponder Jack Nicklaus over Tiger Woods. How'd that come about, Gary?
Well, first of all, the pundits, I would say, are about 60-40 in favor of Nicklaus over Woods. So he's got the majority of pundits on his side. I think for a long time, everybody assumed that Tiger Woods was going to win more majors than Jack Nicklaus and be deemed, you know, the king of golf, the goat of golf. And I was certainly in that camp. But then Tiger ran into some personal problems. He ran into some accidents, some injuries, some back problems, a lot of things that have hampered his career since his mid-30s. So if you look at the majors, you've got Jack Nicklaus ahead 18-15. Also, he's got 56. Nicklaus has 56 top five finishes in majors to 31 by Tiger Woods. I mean, I could go down the list. I mean, there's just so many different categories where Nicklaus is superior to Woods in terms of his achievements. This is one of the sports where the equipment has changed so dramatically over the last 50 years that it's hard to compare apples with apples, right? I mean, Nicklaus really wasn't all that competitive after he won the 1986 Masters, which was a huge shock at age 46. But a lot of people who are in the know say that if they're playing with the same balls and the same clubs, that Nicklaus would beat Woods head to head. Now, of course, we don't know that because, you know, there's enough difference in age that they're not at their primes at the same time. But there's just so much statistically going for Nicklaus over Woods that I had to go with him. you could make a case that both of them have had a tremendous impact on golf. Certainly Nicklaus's was shared with Arnold Palmer's, because the two of them together really put golf on the radar screen because of television, because of their head-to-head competition, because of their willingness and the ability of jets to fly over and play in the British Open, you know, all those kinds of things. Tiger Woods still, it's hard to match his celebrity in terms of what he's done for golf. I mean, even today when he's playing very poorly and he, you know, is almost as much focused upon him as the rest of the field, even when he's just barely making the cut at the Masters in 2024. So, I mean, tremendous interest in golf because of Tiger Woods. But I think, you know, bringing it out of kind of a sleepy second-tier sport into a major sport, increasing the prize winnings, putting it on the radar screen of people, I think Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus really deserve a lot of credit there. So, again, I'm going with what the majority of the pollsters and pundits say. I'm also looking at what a lot of their peers say in terms of that really Jack Nicklaus had a tougher set of competitors to deal with than Tiger Woods has had. So,
okay, so let's move to women's soccer before we get to Pelé. You chose Mia Hamm. Gary, is there a famous Brazilian women's soccer player who was close or may arguably be the greatest?
Yeah, you're talking about Marta, who's still playing. I think that, again, the majority of pundits pick Mia Hamm over Marta for a variety of reasons, in terms of World Cups won, in terms of head-to-head competition in international play, the fact that Mia Hamm, you know, had a phenomenal college record at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, losing only one game and one tie, or maybe two games and one tie in her career, winning four NCAA championships, being named the MVP in two of those occasions. She just excelled at every level. She played not as well in the professional league that she joined in the early 2000s, but again, she was near to the end of her career at that point. But even there, she distinguished herself, and her notoriety helped that league survive for 3 years. So, you know, just looking at all the stats and all the impact upon women's soccer and the great success that the American teams had, much more so than the Brazilian teams of which Marta has been a part, I think it's a, you know, they're probably a third of pollsters maybe choose Marta over Hamm, but two thirds of the pollsters would still say Mia Hamm is the greatest female soccer player of all time.
And for men's soccer, you've chosen the Brazilian Edson Nascimento and Pelé. I did mention to you, Gary, years ago when I was a kid, that while Pelé was playing for the Cosmos, they came and did an exhibition game here at Aloha Stadium. And he did the game-winning kick. He did a bicycle kick, and it was just a remarkable thing to witness, the great Pelé. Well, today we have Lionel Messi. And some may say, even, Danny, what about Diego Maradona, Cristiano Ronaldo, Johan Cruyff? What about these others? Let's discuss. Soccer fans may question your decision.
Well, they should. They should, because this is a really tight race. This is a really tough competition. So why do I go with Pelé? Well, recognize, too, that Messi had not begun to play with Miami when I wrote this book. Okay, so there's yet another chapter in Messi's life that is being added to his accomplishments that wasn't on the horizon when I was writing this particular chapter.
Post-World Cup, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there was he's made the competition even tighter by what he's done in the last 12 months. Okay. Interestingly, while I was writing the chapter on Pele was when he died. Okay. And each chapter took me about a month to write. And I was in the midst of that one when Pele died. So it was very interesting timing. I mean, I think what Pele has done in terms of being the world ambassador for soccer for, you know, such a time, such a long time. I mean, he and Muhammad Ali were the best known athletes in the world for a substantial period of time. Soccer, of course, is the sport that is viewed and by more people than any other sport and has the highest number of fans by far, like, you know, twice as many as any other sport in the world. So it's played around the world. It's the universal sport. So when you talk about the host of characters you did, you mentioned a variety of nationalities, right? Because there are people of all cultures and countries playing this game. But again, I look at Pele's background, how he came out of an impoverished background. I look at what he has done for soccer. I look at all his accomplishments in the World Cup. I look at all his accomplishments in playing international soccer against Argentina, against all of South America, against European teams, and then coming and playing for the Cosmos in the United States for several seasons where you saw him. I just think that he really was the person who elevated soccer into the public consciousness more so than anybody else, made it the beautiful game that he called it, that has been so popular around the globe. So again, I'll defend him, but I think it's a really tough choice in this case.
Well, and of course, because Messi's still playing, things may change.
Right.
You may have to do an addendum down the road, Gary. So you pick Diana Taurasi.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick LeBron over Jordan. When we come back from our break, let's spend a little time on that. Because who knows? I doubt that I'd be able to change your mind, but I do want to hear your argument, and so does a listener today. You're listening to Gary Scott Smith, Amazon.com. GOAT is the title of the book, Greatest Sports Stars of All Time. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. LeBron over Jordan. Of course, he says, for football, it's Tom Brady. Boxing, it's Ali. Hockey, men's hockey, Wayne Gretzky. For baseball, well, who did he pick for baseball? Well, I'll leave that to him, Gary Scott Smith. He will tell us when we come back. Will you agree? Let's wait and see. Amazon.com, greatest sports stars of all time.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives, how you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from the Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus' stories with family and friends.
Listening to to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Christopher Evans of Boston University School of Theology and editor of The Faith of 50 Million, Baseball, Religion, and America, says, in every sport, fans endlessly debate who is the greatest of all time. Historian Gary Scott Smith takes this conversation to a higher level of analysis in this book. He's talking about the book that Gary wrote, Greatest Sports Figures of All Time, filled with useful statistical data and insightful arguments for his selections. Smith not only provides persuasive arguments for his choices. Well, he joins us today, Gary Scott Smith. The book is available at Amazon.com. Gary, why LeBron over Jordan for basketball?
Well, can I say a word first about Diana Taurasi since you've raised her? You know, some people have been ready to anoint Caitlin Clark as the GOAT of women's basketball, which she certainly may be someday. But I've written a couple of op-eds to make the point that that is very premature. You know, if Caitlin Clark doesn't get injured and maintains her motivation and plays like in the pro ranks the way she did and international ranks the way she did in college, she's got the talent to become the GOAT. But when you compare with someone like Diana Taurasi, I mean, Diana Taurasi won three NCAA championships at Connecticut. Caitlin Clark didn't win any, okay? Now, part of that has to do with your supporting cast, certainly. But Diana Taurasi went on to win three WNBA championships, also to be the leading scorer in the history of that league by more than 2,500 points, and then to excel in the Olympics and to excel in international leagues in Russia and Turkey. And she's still playing at age 40, 41. So I think that Caitlin Clark has a long way to go to become the GOAT of women's basketball. And it's just, a lot of people have never even heard of Diana Taurasi. But again, you know, her accomplishments far exceed those of Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is just scratching the surface of what Diana Taurasi has done. But I could probably get some hate mail over that one. All right, so on to LeBron James. So you mentioned, yeah, there are a bunch of competitors. Kobe Bryant had a phenomenal career. If you wanted, if the criteria is just how many championships have you won, Bill Russell wins hands down, right? You know, because he won, you know, nine NBA championships. Why do people choose Jordan? Well, they choose him because he was 6-0 in NBA Finals, because he has the highest scoring average in NBA history, although it's a tiny fraction above that of Wilt Chamberlain, because he was such a phenomenal player, because his accomplishments were primarily in the decade of the 1990s when the Bulls won those six titles, because he was a phenomenal athlete, because he did such great things. Okay, that aside, the reason I choose and go against the pollsters here and the players and the fans is because of the statistics and the longevity of James. But let me just mention one statistical matter, okay? And that is that the pendulum is definitely swinging now in James's favor. If you look as early as 2018, when The Athletic took a poll of NBA players and asked them who the GOAT was, it was like 75% to 15% in favor of Jordan over James. The most recent poll that was taken a couple weeks ago was James was Jordan 51-42. Okay, so it has changed dramatically in the last 5 to 6 years. I think, you know, 5 years down the road, the polls are going to say of players it's going to be James over Jordan. Okay. That said, all right, so James has a record only of 4-6 in NBA Finals. But gosh, look at who he played with. And look who he played against, okay? He did not have the supporting cast except in Miami that Jordan had when he played with the Bulls. Jordan's teams never played a team like the Warriors in the NBA Finals, okay? The Warriors had, you know, the best record in NBA history the one year. They had phenomenal records a couple of the other years, okay? So a 4-6 record, given the teams he played against and on, I think, plus he got to the finals 10 times versus 6 for Michael Jordan, okay? Now, longevity to me is a major consideration. And as a result of that longevity, James has scored, 8,000 more points. 10,000 more points now in his career than Jordan scored in his career. Now, Jordan made a couple of, I think, silly decisions, right, in retiring twice and then taking time off, particularly to play baseball. Had he played those years, we might not be having this conversation, or we would be having a different conversation. But the reality is he did, okay? Look at assists. The amount of assists that LeBron has per game in the playoffs and in the regular season are far superior to that of Jordan. And the one player put it this way. He said, when Michael Jordan played, he said he could jump. He had a 40-inch vertical leap. Nobody else in the NBA had a 40-inch vertical leap. He says, now you've got high school kids with a 40-inch vertical leap. LeBron James is 6'9", and he has a 50-inch vertical leap. I mean, the competition that James is playing against compared to what Michael Jordan played against, I think, is vastly superior. You've got many more international players who are playing now who are phenomenal, like, Jokic and Luka and so on. You know, it's just, it's a different time in NBA history. Okay. So, you know, you can go down the line. LeBron has a higher field goal average made. Now it's just slightly higher. He has a higher, more rebounds per game. He has, what's telling to me is that there's a statistic that they call estimate of 100 points per replacement, and his score is 146 and George's is 116. So, you know, you can slice and dice it a lot of different ways, but I think that the statistics are really on the side of LeBron James.
Did anybody come close to Tom Brady?
Yeah, I think Peyton Manning came quite close to Tom Brady in terms of his overall stats. He didn't come close in terms of his championships won. Joe Montana came relatively close in terms of championships won, but his statistics are not nearly as great as those of Tom Brady. So, you know, Brady is just so far ahead. And I mean, Drew Brees competed with him in terms of total yardage, numbers of completions, things like that. But if you look at all the stats, you know, you look at playoff victories, you look at championships won, you look at the MVPs won of both regular season and Super Bowls. No, I don't think anyone truly has come close. Now, you've got to consider, you know, other positions, but again, most people put quarterbacks as the top contenders for the GOAT of football because of how pivotal that position is to their teams.
You write about Muhammad Ali being the one who created this term, the greatest of all time. We know that Wayne Gretzky is known as the great one. Who did you choose for baseball?
Well, in my mind, there are, again, some really strong contenders, but Babe Ruth just towers above everybody else when you look at what Babe Ruth accomplished. It's really a combination of what he did relative to the other players of his era. I mean, he's hitting 60 home runs in a season when most teams collectively aren't hitting 60 home runs. He's putting up a .342 lifetime batting average. And then, of course, he was a phenomenal pitcher as well, as we know that. I mean, I just saw the other day that somebody pointed out that Ohtani has about the same. It's uncanny how the number of home runs and the number of records, pitching record that the two of them have at the same age. Okay. But let's remember two things. Number one, the number of home runs being hit now is phenomenally greater than when Babe Ruth was hitting his. And number two, Otani's going to have to continue to do what he's doing for another decade at least to begin to match what Babe Ruth pulled off. I don't see it happening, frankly. I could be wrong, but I just don't see it happening. So Babe Ruth is just, he's a character. And if you want to look at his impact on baseball, tremendous impact on baseball. No one will arguably ever have that great of impact again because of his personality, because of his larger than life persona, because of what he does, because of how successful the Yankees are in his vintage. You know, all those things combined, I just think that there's really little debate. Willie Mays was a great player. Christy Mathewson was a great pitcher. Hank Aaron was a tremendous home run hitter. But you put it all together, and I just don't see anyone in Babe Ruth's camp.
And again, you said that if Shohei, that was another question, if he's going to overtake Babe Ruth, he needs to do what he's doing for another 10 years?
At least, you know, because, you know, Babe Ruth, I forget what the exact statistic was, but Babe Ruth, you know, hit so many home runs after he became 28 years old that Otani would have to, you know, continue to put up, you know, 40 home runs a season for the next 10 years to even be in Babe Ruth's category.
What about the argument you gave about level of athleticism, the change of the game, the change in technology? What about that?
Well, I do
think that
come
into play.
It's certainly more challenging pitching that batters are facing now because of relief specialists and starters not staying in the game so long. But the actual bats and balls are much better today to hit home runs with than they were in Babe Ruth's vintage. And again, you've got to compare him to the other players of his time who were also facing that kind of pitching. Yes, you were getting higher batting averages for careers. And I think that's really where relief specialists have played a role in reducing the batting averages of players. But certainly home runs have flourished in the last 25 years in the face of less complete games and closers and you know, left-handed specialists who only pitch one inning and all the kinds of things that Babe Ruth did not face that much.
I do wonder why you didn't look at horse racing. I'm thinking about jockeys like like Lafitte Pincay and Willie Shoemaker or NASCAR or Formula One. But we won't get into that. Amazon.com, greatest sports of all time. This is Gary Scott Smith. He's with us today. When we come back from our break in this final segment, who was the greatest Olympian? And what about just athlete, greatest female athlete of all time or the greatest male athlete of all time? Gary Scott Smith picks them out. You say, Danny, are you going to make us wait till you come back? Well, yes, we'll do that when we come back. They have to do with not only being athletes, but there is a common thread in terms of the Olympics, but I'll let Gary Scott Smith share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives, how you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from the Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 electrician and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus' stories with family and friends.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Who are the greatest athletes of all time? Gary Scott Smith, in his book GOAT, The Greatest Sports Stars of All Time, 15 fantastic athletes, boldly proclaims who they are. But does so with the careful analysis of a historian, leaving no stone unturned. He didn't pick horse racing. He didn't pick NASCAR or Formula One. But he did choose for the Olympian, the greatest Olympian of all time. Well, Gary, who did you choose?
Well, let me make two quick other comments first. The one is that my book is 585 pages long. And so I had to draw a line somewhere, right? And that's one of the reasons I left out some sports. Now, I do have at the end of the introductory chapter, I have a choice of some other sports that I didn't actually profile, okay? And secondly, back to your comment earlier about the faith. I do touch upon faith topics in the book as relevant. Okay. Now, to some of our listeners, Muhammad Ali's Muslim faith or Jehovah Witness faith of Serena Williams would not resonate. But I do talk about how their Christian faith had an impact on both Babe Dietrichson Zaharias, who I'll talk about here in a moment, as the greatest female athlete of all time, and Babe Ruth, as they were both dealing with cancer from which they died near the end of their lives. And then to take us into our current topic, I picked Michael Phelps. And Michael Phelps goes through a period of severe depression and problems with alcohol that lead to a couple of drunken driving arrests. And during that time, Ray Lewis, who's a Christian linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, and a friend of Michael Phelps, gives him a book called A Purpose-Driven Life to read. And he reads that, and it has a big impact upon him, helps him get through his battle with alcoholism. So there are some faith dimensions to the book. All right, so I picked Michael Phelps because, and I don't think there's a whole lot of dispute and debate on this one. He's got, you know, 28 medals at the Olympics, 10 more gold medals than anyone else. So again, it's a question of longevity. It's a question of accomplishments in the Olympics. And then you throw in the rest of his career where he won so many other international titles. He's really, you know, there are some other great Olympians, some Russian gymnasts particularly, but and also some American sprinters, male and female. But Michael Phelps is really a clear consensus winner among his fellow athletes and among his competitors, even if they're still alive, most of whom are, who acknowledge that, yes, he deserves this title, and certainly among the pundits.
You mentioned Babe Dietrichson Zaharias. You also selected Jim Thorpe as the male athlete, the greatest athlete of all time. Say more about Zaharias and Thorpe.
Well, one of the things that struck me in both of their cases was their versatility. I mean, they were just good at every athletic endeavor they tried. And they each did probably a dozen different kinds of things. Now, Zaharias made her reputation primarily in track and field and golf. But she excelled in softball, And she even pitched baseball against some major league players, several innings against major league players. She excelled at basketball. She excelled in bowling. Again, you name it, she did it. She was great at it. But she was, there's a famous track meet in 1932 where she was competing for a business in Dallas, a club team in Dallas. And she went to Chicago and in the space of 2 hours, single-handedly defeated all the other teams that were there, some of whom had as many as 15 competitors. And about every 7 minutes, she had to compete at something, whether it was a softball throw or the javelin or running the 100-yard dash or the 440, as they used to call it back in the day. And then she won in the Olympics, and she won three events, well, tied one and won two. And women were only allowed to compete in three, or she would have undoubtedly won more. And then she went on to a phenomenal golf career in the early days of the LPGA, and had a phenomenal record of winning 16 consecutive golf tournaments. So same thing can be said about Jim Thorpe. I mean, his reputation is built primarily on two things. One, his success in the decathlon in the 1912 Olympics at Stockholm. But he was a phenomenal football player in college for the Carlisle Indian School, who at that time played the best schools in the country, Harvard, Yale, Pitt, Penn State, Army, Navy, so on. And then is a founder of the National Football League and earlier commissioner of that league. And then the numbers that he put up there. And then also he, of course, played seven seasons of Major League Baseball. And he didn't star in Major League Baseball, in part because his experience was the flip side of almost everybody else's. He played in the majors first and the minors second, and put up some phenomenal numbers in the minors. And many people think that if he played the minors first and got some seasoning and then came to the majors, he would have had a much better career there. But again, everything he tried, he was really good at basketball. He just excelled in softball, ballroom dancing, archery, you know, you name the sport, he did it well. So, and again, he dealt with a tremendous liability in being a Native American at a time when Native Americans were treated so, so poorly in our history. And he really had to grapple with that that legacy, both the Indian school that he attended and his home life and just all the racism that he faced as a Native American. And sadly, that continued after his professional career ended.
Gary, as we wrap up today, any patterns that you look back? I know you mentioned about Babe Zaharias, her faith. You mentioned about how Michael Phelps was impacted. But any broader patterns of the influence of faith, or more specifically Christianity, in the lives of these great ones?
No, I can't really say that there were strong Christian influences. There were some, like Jack Nicklaus's wife seems to be a very devout believer, and he's given lots of money to Christian causes and very involved in the life of the church. There is striking, I do make this point in the conclusion of the book, that despite the phenomenal success that a lot of these people had, they suffered with trying to find meaning in life. Tom Brady probably has the most famous quotation where he's won his second Super Bowl, and he basically asked the interviewer, you know, tell me, what's there's got to be more to life than this. Tell me what it is. And the announcer looks at him dumbfoundedly, like, man, you just won the Super Bowl. You're one of the most famous people on the planet. You're one of those esteemed and successful people on the planet. Why aren't you satisfied? And, so I make that point that there were a lot of them that battled with alcoholism. A lot of them battled with trying to find a deeper purpose in their lives. Several of them were really really admirable people, like Mia Hamm in particular, very humble about their achievements, you know, very willing to help other people along the way. But it's a mixed bag. It really is. I guess the lack of pattern is perhaps kind of interesting. And while we're speaking about faith, Pele had a very strong Catholic faith as well. And that comes through, I think, in the chapter they wrote about him. And his relationship with God is kind of front and forward in his life a little bit.
Well, this has been an enjoyable time, Gary. Thanks for sharing with us, for writing your book, Greatest Sports Stars of All Time. My friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, I believe this may be that perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live and go there and find Next Steps, resources to reach family and friends. Subscribe for major podcast platforms. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Gary Scott Smith. To all Gary Scott Smith and his book, The Greatest Sports Stars of All Time. Until next time, along with my producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer Arlen Nagata, and social media director Luke Yamashiro, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.